Let's hit the rewind button if we can. Remind us about these lawsuits initially and what the big back and forth was about and why Florida State and Clemson sued the league.
Yeah, we're really almost a year and a half into this, and the long story short is that those schools were tired of the ACC falling so far financially behind the SEC and the Big Ten, and whereas the ACC for decades was the wealthiest league in America on a per-school basis, that hasn't been the case for a long time. And Florida State and Clemson wanted to explore their ability to jump to another conference if invited, and the layout of the ACC bylaws was such that it would cost $120 million-plus in an exit fee plus a forfeiture of your media rights all the way through 2036. They thought that was a legally challengeable combination of penalties. They also brought up some novel legal ideas such as sovereign immunity, where Florida State, for example, basically said we're a public institution, and if we want to opt out of this contract, we can. And there's nothing you, the ACC, can do about it. And when at least one judge in Florida started listening to some of these legal claims, I think that made the ACC have to consider not going all the way through that lawsuit in Florida while its own lawsuit in North Carolina continued and Clemson's lawsuit in South Carolina continued.
Could this lawsuit or the settlement of this lawsuit actually benefit some other ACC schools, maybe more than it could Florida State or Clemson?
It depends. Oddly enough, none of us would get this right, but if we guessed which ACC football team drew the best TV ratings this past year, the answer was actually Georgia Tech.
Wow.
It was because of that game overseas, plus that, what was it, 7 or 8 overtimes against the Georgia Bulldogs. So what Florida State and Clemson have wanted and what they're going to get if this settlement is approved is essentially a new revenue distribution formula. In other words, for most of the ACC's 70-plus year history, revenue has been distributed essentially equally. You know, if it was a 12-team league, it was the financial pie was divided into 12 slices. When it was 15, you divided into 15 equal slices. Florida State and Clemson and even others have asked for and not gotten in the past a distribution method based more on on-field success, which is a change they got 1 year ago, but also a new model based essentially on TV eyeballs and things of that sport, especially of that sort, especially in football and men's basketball. If this settlement is approved, they're going to get those things. So whoever draws the most TV eyeballs, mostly in football and secondarily in men's basketball, rather than there being nowadays, you know, 18 equal slices, remember the three new schools don't even get full slices under the terms of them, SMU and Cal and Stanford joining the ACC. But those schools that do well on the field get financial bonuses, and then those schools that draw, they call it a brand initiative. You know, how many people care about this school or that school? And in that particular category, in our backyard, UNC should do very well because the Tar Heels have you know, a world-famous men's basketball program. They just hired Bill Belichick as their football leader, and the Tar Heels, while avoiding all these legal expenses that Clemson and Florida State have been paying millions of dollars, the Tar Heels wisely sat by quietly as these rules ended up changing in their favor anyway.
What's the timeline for when all the voting is done and this settlement could become finalized?
It could happen as early as today. The three entities are the Clemson University Board of Trustees, the Florida State University Board of Trustees, and then the ACC Board of Directors, where you can just imagine 18 presidents/chancellors, the ultimate decision makers at each of those universities. It doesn't have to be unanimous. I believe this is one of their two-thirds votes to change the distribution model. So I don't know if, I don't think they're going to cross the T's and dot the I's today, but all three of those entities are meeting today. And I think this revenue change, just to paint the bigger picture briefly, it's not going to keep the ACC intact through 2036, which is the end of their TV deal. But what it's likely to do is keep it intact for the remainder of the 2020s. Another change is going to make it less expensive to leave if you want to leave. And it's everybody's guess, you know, whether that is revisited 5 years down the road by Florida State, Clemson, or somebody else, or whether the ACC is able to stay together even beyond, 2029 or 2030.
How much does this potential House settlement impact this and maybe the future of the ACC or college sports as a whole, DG?
I think it's one of the things that has forced everybody to contemplate what they want from the athletics on their campus, because that House settlement is going to add a new $20-plus million line item to your athletic budget, or at least your ability to spend that much in name, image, likeness money on your own players in a way that's never been the case in NCAA history. A lot of people forget all current NIL money comes from third parties, external, you know, car dealerships and independent corporations, et cetera. It doesn't come from within the university to those players. Under this new system, if the judge approves it, that's 20-plus million that'll be coming from inside. And I think everybody has to decide whether they want to spend all the way to that 20-plus million cap. Everybody has to decide whether they want to remain a part of the current conferences they're in. Everybody had to decide whether they're willing to spend millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars on these legal issues in three different states prior to this settlement, which, you know, everybody ultimately appears they're deciding no, they want to end those extravagant legal expenses. All these things are being revisited, and a lot of people, Chris, believe that one of the reasons that the ACC struck this deal, which no doubt, you know, has favorability for Florida State and Clemson, they got some of what they wanted. I would say they got more of what they wanted than the ACC got. One of the reasons the ACC is motivated to do this is that if it keeps everybody together through, you know, 2029 or 2030, the college sports world may look so dramatically different at that point that conference affiliation might not matter as much as it has historically.
That's a really good point. Hedging the bets, as they say, DG. And,
yes.
And it changes by the minute. And I know you're going to continue to follow it at ncsportsnetwork.com. David Glenn of the North Carolina Sports Network. Always appreciate the time, my friend. Look forward to talking again soon.
Thank you, Chris. Anytime.